You're listening to the WIT Online EduPod series. WIT Online partners with faculty, staff, and students to enhance the curriculum by developing and delivering flexible and innovative online learning experiences. The WIT Online EduPod series includes conversations with the Wentworth community on topics in online teaching and learning.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kiana Skitwith from Wentworth Online, and I will be your host for today's podcast. We're so glad that you're tuning in from wherever you are. This month, we are speaking with Adam Payne about online learning in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm excited and honored to have Adam join me today. He is our first guest for our debut episode. So before getting started, I wanted to take a few moments to introduce Adam to our listeners. Adam is an assistant professor of psychology in the Department of Humanities and Social Sciences at Wentworth Institute of Technology. He earned a Doctor of Education in the Penn Chief Learning Officer Program from the University of Pennsylvania. Additionally, he holds a Master of Arts in Industrial Organizational Psychology and a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and Statistics. Previously, Adam was a program director and adjunct instructor at Bentley University and has taught as a part-time adjunct instructor at many institutions in the greater Boston area. In addition to his role at Wentworth, Adam has also developed and taught a course on research techniques and processes for adult learners in the Woods College, located at Boston College. Recently, Adam's work has been published in the American Journal of Management and the Journal of Higher Education, Theory and Practice, and he has presented at numerous conferences and even served as a TEDx speaker. One interesting thing I've learned about Adam is that he's a musician. He has recorded 6 albums while contributing to several other albums and projects. So welcome, Adam, to our podcast show. How have you been doing in this midst of change?
Thank you very much for having me, Kiana. Yeah, it's been interesting, I think, for all of us. It seems like any person I've talked to, it's been an adjustment. It's like we have to give ourselves a few minutes to just say, yep, it's crazy. But, I think I'm doing the best that I can. How about you?
I can also relate with you. Like, for me, I'm grateful just to be alive and healthy, you know, with all that's going on.
Definitely.
So I've developed a sense of like what's really important, you know, how can I really prioritize my self-care? You know, I'm exercising more than ever.
Absolutely. Yep. No excuses now.
You know, and trying to find ways to connect with friends and family.
Absolutely. Yeah. If nothing else, I mean, that is the kind of the silver lining to be able mm-hmm. to have more time to connect with people. That is true.
Absolutely. And now let's get into the questions, shall we? So my first question for you, Adam, is what has your experience been like converting your courses to online or remote learning during the COVID-19 disruption?
Sure. My initial answer to that is, you know, it was very sudden, right? It was unexpected. But I think that because of the flexibility of the students, I think that's number one. Mm-hmm. And I think with just kind of the support and everything that Wentworth offers, I mean, I think it was much smoother than if I were, like, let's say if I would have done a scenario in my industrial organizational psychology class, you know, like a work-related scenario. I think that I couldn't have planned it better. And I think that in terms of the response, it was perfect. And I think that as best as it could be, I think the transition was smooth. And I think a lot of that attributed to the good people like yourself that work at Wentworth made that possible. But I think for me specifically, with the students, it was definitely, like I said, they required, you know, some flexibility, the learning curve of just reacquainting myself with online material. But I mm-hmm. think in the end, I think it ended up working out. And I think it was a quality experience for everybody.
Right. I totally agree. When we first started the transition with it, there was a whole lot of communication going out, working with the faculty to make sure they are adjusting, because some of the faculty were actually new, actually using the LMS. They've never used it before.
Oh, that's right.
So we had to worry about that on top of the students and faculty, just their mental state, how they're going to do this now, have to go back home and watch in front of campus. So right. It's just been real to see how things happen so quickly.
Absolutely. I think the last piece that I would add to that, Kiana, is I think because everybody was kind of experiencing something mm-hmm. crazy, it required all of us to be patient with each other, knowing that it's not just people joining a class to get together and talk mm-hmm. about a subject, but you're dealing with people who are displaced, you know, in all kind of different mental states. So trying to find the most comfortable common space to be able to have a quality class experience is a challenge in and of itself.
So my follow-up question to that, Adam, is after teaching remotely for the last 3 weeks, since you were that transition into the spring semester, what were some of the lessons learned and key takeaways you have?
Sure. I think that number one, it's something that can be done. You know, I've worked in the higher education space for a long time. And I think that I remember with massive open online courses back probably in 2011, there was a lot of talk about how we can incorporate online learning. And I think that something as with a global influence as this pandemic has had, I think it's really helped us, you know, myself particularly, to know that I can do it. I've taught online before, but I think mm-hmm. in a more direct way that, you know, it can be done. It can be done well. I would also say that I might say this later too, but I think it really puts an onus on the people who support the folks in the classroom. And I think it really makes it more of a team effort. That's what I see. I see a lot more potential, not only for just support efforts, but also a lot more collaboration, maybe with folks who aren't as tech savvy, working with another person, maybe from your area, to make the class better, more engaging. So I think that there's a lot of key takeaways. I think it's really positive. It comes from a sudden change. It really paints a lot of positive potential for the future.
Mm-hmm. I would just comment in saying that being an administrator in online teaching and learning, I have to mention this, that remote learning is not online learning. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's good to make that distinction.
The reason why I say that is that there has been so many articles on this topic during the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. And one that comes to mind was published right before we went our separate ways from campus in March from EDUCAUSE. And they were explaining the difference between the remote versus the online models. And mm-hmm. I'll be sure to share these articles on the podcast resource page. But I just wanted to say that I would describe remote learning as being easy to access, quick to set up with minimal resources. It requires little instruction or support, you know, to get that onboarding started. Mm-hmm. But I do think the student experience will be definitely different in remote versus online, because with online learning, to me, it's very intentional planning, lots of preparation, developing the instructional materials and the content, even the assignments for that particular online student population. So I just want to make that note there.
No, that's a good distinction. And for some of the research that I've done, what you point to is really, I think, course delivery and mm-hmm. course design. And both of those elements are really important when you move into, say, an asynchronous class. I think in terms of really making sure that there's high potential for learning, it's extremely important to focus on course design. It really has to make sense. It has to flow. I think when you're in a live classroom, even if you can get by, if your design is more fluid or isn't as well planned, but absolutely with online learning and remote learning, I would say course design is very important. And then the delivery, it depends. It definitely mm-hmm. in a synchronous, people are meeting a couple times or once a week for class, then course delivery, definitely. How do you sync that together with the course design in a way that I think the key piece for me has been to really keep the student experience as number one. We have a tendency to, as instructors, to want to get in this race to finish that. I have to finish this chapter. I have to finish this material. And it's more about recalibrating the class so that it's really in line with the student experience. If the students aren't getting something, I think even more so than in a live classroom, it's important to slow down or to offer more opportunities for outreach or connection, whether it's individual meetings or whatever it is. But I think the student experience is paramount. And I think making sure that that experience is as good as possible and as engaging as possible is really important.
The next question I have for you, what was your biggest challenge in keeping your students engaged and feeling connected during this time?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, I would consider myself a very hands-on teacher. I like to, for example, walking around the classroom to if there's a lecture going on or walking around. I think I learned a little bit from a thing or two about being a musician, having to, mm-hmm. you know, kind of work a crowd, right? I see a lot of similarities there. And I think I've incorporated a lot of those elements into my teaching. So I think that, you know, a challenge for me was trying to find a way to do that. And I think at first it's different, right? Like it's even my transition, say, from playing in bars, restaurants, and pubs to playing music virtually, it's a very, very different experience, but it's important to try to find the connection. So I think it is challenging, but I think I'm really trying to find ways, even if it's just a little bit of discussion in the beginning, to find ways to connect with people, you know, pointing out stuff in people's background on Zoom or things to make people feel comfortable, I think is important. And it is different, but I think I definitely see some benefits as well in terms of really being able to make sure that you're paying equal attention or that you're kind of making connections across the screen as opposed to across the classroom. It does have affordances, I think, when we're talking about a virtual format.
Thanks for sharing. I totally agree that instructor and social presence are so important, especially in the online community. They want to build that community of trust. They want to build a rapport with their instructors and even with their peers, because all of this promotes that sense of belonging, that sense of purpose. Why are we here? Why are we learning and things like that?
Absolutely.
So I consider you a guru at online teaching. Can you share any strategies or resources you found helpful?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's very nice of you once again. I don't know that I'd consider myself. I appreciate it. I'll take it. You know, I guess I would kind of reiterate what I was saying before. I think it's really important it's easy as an instructor to get lost in the other priorities that we have without keeping, again, the student experience at the forefront. And I think that no matter what the class is, if it's a very technical class, if it's more of a discussion-based class, I think it's absolutely essential to make sure that the students are having the best experience. I think it always matters, but I think it really matters now. And I think it's important, I think, for all instructors, I think, to remember that, because the students want to have the best experience. There is a challenge, but I think making sure that doing things like setting expectations in the beginning, letting people know, for example, things might not go perfectly, or being willing, I think, to be authentic is definitely something that helps, and say, look, I'm not perfect. If you're someone who hasn't had experience teaching online before, if this is your first foray into it, you know, I think being upfront about that can help adjust people's expectations, and it can help the experience be a lot better. And I think, yeah, like I said, I would just reiterate that this is the material that I am teaching, but these are all students. So this is all the stuff that I planned and the design, but now I have a set of students, a bunch of faces that are looking at me, if you meet regularly, or just people who are moving through the material. I think it should be less of a checklist type of process, and it should be more of really taking that extra step to make sure that students are getting something, that students are not just being polite and saying, yeah, no, everything's fine, because that kind of forces the checklist later. Yep, I passed the class, I got done, I got a decent grade. But how can I learn in the best way in this environment based on everything, the expertise of the instructor in terms of delivering content, all of that together, how can that create the best student experience possible? I think there's nothing more important than the student experience. So I think keeping that in mind, however that plays out, whatever strategies and tactics that work for you, I think as long as you keep that in mind, it'll go well.
What advice will you give your faculty colleagues as they are beginning the summer semester here at Wentworth?
Yeah, just, you know, open mind, be flexible. I think it's very important to, you know, something that I think we're used to doing, but even more so being okay to rely on people who can support you at the Institute, folks in your office, folks in the other areas that would be able to really help, not only with, you know, say not a technical issue. I have this idea. I have this topic that I'm going to talk about. Here's how I did it in the classroom. I need to convert it to a more of a remote format. I think it's a perfect opportunity, and I think it will only make things better. I've been at Wentworth, you know, less than a year. There is such incredible people who are so willing to help. I think that it really makes a big difference to take advantage of that help and make a big difference for everybody.
Great. Thanks for sharing these tips and strategies. Absolutely. In your opinion, how is the coronavirus pandemic reshaping higher education?
That's a good question. I think it really puts more of an emphasis on the quality of the experience that students have. When I see things in the on the news about students considering a gap year, or when I think of, you know, some of the other opportunities that students might take advantage of, it becomes almost a thing that we have to compete with. So I think the onus is really on us, while this pandemic is going on, in the aftermath of it, to really focus more on, again, providing the best experience and learning, you know, learning from what we can learn from the experience, but really making sure that when things resume to some normalcy, and even throughout it, that we are providing the best experience possible because of some of these other things that might be competing with the potential students that we can have. Making sure that across the board that we provide the best quality classes possible, especially at a school like Wentworth, where students are coming for us to gain, in a lot of instances, specific technical knowledge. I think it's really important that everybody in higher education develops a real mastery behind to kind of complement the existing skill sets to really present the information not only in the best way, but that is conscious of the fact that things are going to be in a state of somewhat unsettled for a while after this. Even if everything does reopen and goes back to normal, there's still going to be a lingering effect of this. So I think that, again, making sure that we're able to do the best that we can from where we are and to be able to reach students wherever they are, if they're on campus, if they're remote, it is much more important for us to think of each class providing a really, really quality experience.
Great. What role do you think online learning can play in the future of education?
I think it can be really the vehicle very much. I think that, again, as we experiment with different learning styles, as we maybe, you know, find the best tools that are in place to use for course design, course delivery, I think that online learning, the importance of that and how it can really, it will be the vehicle that we use to deliver all of this information. So I think it may be, you know, if things continue in this way, I can see how it might be more important, say, in graduate programs or education programs, wherever people, instructors will come from, to make sure that they have some kind of, how do you take all this information that we're teaching you and deliver it in a way that is remote that might not be as familiar with people. So I think it really, we're going to have to train instructors. We're going to have to make sure that instructors really have a mastery of being able to work in the online learning space really well, as much so as we have done in the actual physical classrooms. So that highlights the importance of a skill set for the instructors, but it also highlights the importance, again, for folks who would be in a position to help those people be the best that they can, not only, again, with the temporary troubleshooting, but more so with delivering a quality experience for everybody.
I totally agree. Two things that come to my mind are, as you mentioned, the quality or value of education will change, as well as how higher education institutions may explore actually more academic industry partnerships for learning. I recently read an article by Scott Galloway. He's a well-known author and NYU professor who mentioned, quote, "While other crises reshape our future, COVID-19 is just making the future happen faster."
There you go. That's it.
Yep. So we couple that, what we just said, with the benefits of online learning, it continues to allow that flexibility. It can be made accessible to anyone and everyone, as you mentioned. And most importantly, it allows for a customized and that authentic learning experience for any student who wants to learn.
Absolutely. Oh, that's good.
So looking ahead to the fall semester, what is, in your opinion, what is the new normal of teaching and learning at Wentworth going to look like?
It's a really good question. It's funny. I have this crystal ball app on my phone. And they're doing maintenance, so I wasn't able to look and get it. I mean, it's of all times, right? But I think the new normal is still evolving. Mm-hmm. The new normal every day, you know, it's like with all the different elements, I think there's a lot of moving pieces. So I can't say for sure. I don't know if anybody can, but I think that there are things that are going to be much more important. I think that we have all of us, anyone, you know, who works in higher education, but particularly folks at Wentworth, we have a more of a responsibility to convince students or help them understand that this is something, that this is still something that can be done in a way, as it always has been, to move you forward, you know, to give you professional experience, et cetera. And I think the expertise that you would need to gain that professional experience. And I think that, you know, I don't know that things really need to change that much. I think the sentiment that I have, one of the reasons why I was excited about working at Wentworth and why I'm excited to work at Wentworth is I think the people, no matter who you talk to, no matter who the workers are, everyone really cares about the student experience. Mm-hmm. Everyone is really thinking about that. And I think that for me, if I were to think about what impact might that have, I think that everything else is easy because we will make sure that whoever the students are, that they have the best experience possible, regardless of what the circumstances are. And those of us who might need more help with certain things will get it. And I think we'll all make sure that the student experience is as best as it can, no matter where we are.
Well, you made some really good points, Adam, about the upcoming fall semester for Wentworth. I guess we'll all have to see in the coming months.
We shall see. I'm anticipating it, I think, with the same anxiety and anticipation as the rest of us.
So as we wrap up this episode, Adam, do you have any final thoughts or comments on what we discussed today?
I'd say my final comment is I've been saying it throughout, but I think anytime we're talking about learning, we need to think about who's learning first, not how do I teach this or how can I put something together, but who's learning, how can they best learn? I would just reiterate the student experience is, I've been a staff member, a faculty now, it's the same across the board. And I think it's the reason why we're all in the positions that we're in. So all of us keeping that very much at the forefront will make all the difference, in my opinion.
Great. Thanks again for joining me today and sharing your insights on this important topic. Finally, how can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about the work you're doing?
Sure. I'm on the Wentworth email. You can get in touch with me there. I'd love to talk with you. If you want to visit my website, it's just adampayne.biz, and I'd love to hear from you.
Thanks again, Adam.
Thank you very much, Kiana.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in. We post new episodes every month. For more episodes and information, you can visit the WIT Online Learning Hub at sites.wit.edu/wit-online.